Chapter 49. Court of the Sun. She was Ladalin, wise one of the Tardud Aiel. How she wished that she had been able to learn to channel. That was a shameful thought, wishing for a talent one did not have, but she could not deny it. She sat in the tent, feeling regretful. If she'd been able to work with the one power, perhaps she could have done more to help the wounded. She could have remained young to lead her clan, and perhaps her bones would not ache so. Old age was a frustration when there was so much to do. The tent walls rustled as the remaining clan chiefs settled down. There was only one other wise one in the room, Mora of the Goshin Aiel. She could not channel either. The Shan Chan were particularly determined when it came to killing or capturing all Aiel, male or female, who showed any talent with the one power. It was a sorry group gathered in the tent. A one-armed young soldier entered with a warm brazier and set it in the middle of them, then retreated. Ladalin's mother had spoken of the days when there had still been Gai Shain to do such work. Had there really been Aiel, man or maiden, who had not been needed for the war against the Shan Chan? Ladalin reached forward to warm her hands at the brazier, fingers knotted with age. She'd held a spear as a young woman. Most women did before they married. How could a woman remain behind when the Shan Chan used female soldiers and their Damani with such effectiveness? She'd heard stories about her mother and great mother's days, but they seemed incredible. The war was all Ladalin had ever known. Her first memories as a little girl were of the Almoth strikes. Her youth had been spent training. She had fought in the battles focused around the land that had been known as Tyr. Ladalin had married and raised children, but had focused every breath on the conflict. Aiel or Shan Chan? Both knew that eventually only one of the two would remain. It was looking more and more like the Aiel would be the ones forced out. That was another difference between her day and her mother's day. Her mother had not spoken of failure. Ladalin's lifetime was filled with milestones of withdrawal and retreat. The others seemed absorbed in their thoughts. Three clan chiefs and two wise ones. They were all that remained of the Council of 22. Highland winds seeped through the tent flaps, chilling her back. Tamav was the last to arrive. He looked as old as she felt, his face scarred and his left eye lost in battle. He sat down on the rock. The Aiel no longer carried rugs or cushions. Only the essentials could be transported.
"The White Tower has fallen," he said. "My scouts informed me not an hour ago. I trust their information."
He'd always been a blunt man, and a good friend to her husband, who had fallen last year.
"Then with it goes our last hope," said Takai, the youngest of the clan chiefs.
He was the third chief of the Mayagoma in as many years.
"Speak not so," Ladalin said. "There is always hope."
"They have pushed us all the way to these cursed mountains," Takai said. "The Shianda and the Darain are no more. That leaves only five clans, and one of those is broken and scattered. We are beaten, Ladalin."
Tamav sighed. She'd have lain a bridal wreath at his feet, had the years been earlier and the times different. Her clan needed a chief. Her son still thought to become the one, but with the recent Shan Chan capture of Ruidian, the clans were uncertain how to choose new leaders.
"We must retreat into the Threefold Land," Mora said in her soft, matronly voice, "and seek penance for our sins."
"What sins?" Takai snapped.
"The dragon wanted peace," she replied.
"The dragon left us," Takai said. "I refuse to follow the memory of a man my great fathers barely knew. We made no oaths to follow his foolish pact. We—"
"Peace, Takai," Jorsham said.
The last of the three clan chiefs was a small, hawk-faced man with some Andoran blood in him from his great father.
"Only the Threefold Land holds any hope for us now. The war against the Ravens has been lost."
The tent fell still.
"They said they'd hunt us," Takai said.
When they demanded surrender, they warned us against retreat. You know that. They said they would destroy any place where three Aiel gathered.
We will not surrender, Ladolin said firmly. More firmly than she felt, to be honest.
Surrender would make us Gaishine, Tamav said.
They used the word to mean one without honor, though that was not the way Ladolin's mother had used it.
Ladolin, what is your advice?
The other four looked at her. She was of the lineage of the dragon, one of the last living. The other three lines had been killed off. If we become slaves to the Seanchan, the Aiel as a people will be no more, she said. We cannot win, so we must retreat. We will return to the Threefold Land and build up our strength. Perhaps our children can fight where we cannot.
Silence again. They all knew her words to be optimistic at best. After decades of war, the Aiel were a bare fraction of the number they had once been. Seanchan channelers were brutal in their effectiveness. Though the Wise Ones and Dragon-Blooded used the One Power in battle, it was not enough. Those cursed Adam. Each channeler the Aiel lost to capture was eventually turned against them. The real turning point in the war had been the entry of the other nations. After that, the Seanchan had been able to seize Wetlander nations and cull more channelers from their ranks. The Ravens were unstoppable. Now that Tar-Valon had fallen, every realm in the Wetlands was subject to the Seanchan. Only the Black Tower still fought, though the Ashaman did so in secret, as their fortress had fallen years before. Aiel could not fight in secret. There was no honor to that. Of course, what did honor matter now? After deaths numbering in the hundreds of thousands? After the burning of Kyrian and the scouring of Ilion? It had been 20 years since the Seanchan had gained the Andorran war machines. The Aiel had been tumbling toward defeat for decades. It was a testament to their tenacious nature that they had lasted so long.
This is his fault,
Takai said, still looking sullen.
The Karakarn could have led us to glory, but he abandoned us.
His fault? Ladolin said, understanding, perhaps for the first time, why that statement was wrong. No, Aiel take responsibility for themselves. This is our fault, and not that of my distant great father. We have forgotten who we are. We are without honor.
Our honor was taken from us,
Takai said, sighing as he stood.
People of the dragon, indeed. What is the good of being his people?
We were crafted to be a spear, the legends say, forged in the Threefold Land.
He used us, then cast us away. What is a discarded spear to do but go to war?
What, indeed, Ladolin thought. The dragon had demanded peace, thinking that it would bring happiness to the Aiel. But how could they be happy when the light-cursed Seanchan were in the land? Her hatred of the invaders ran deep. Perhaps that hatred had destroyed the Aiel. She listened to the wind howl as Takai stalked from the tent. On the morrow, the Aiel would return to the Threefold Land. If they would not accept peace themselves, it seemed they would have to have it forced upon them. Avienda took another step forward. She'd nearly reached the very center of the columns, and shards of light sparkled around her. Her tears flowed freely now. She felt like a child. Being Ladolin had been worse than the others, for in her Avienda had seen hints of true Aiel ways, but corrupted, as if to make mockery. The woman had thought of war and associated it with honor, but hadn't understood what honor was. No Gaishine? Retreat? There had been no mention of To. This was battle stripped completely of point or reason. Why fight? For Ladolin, it had been about hatred of the Seanchan. There was war because there had always been war. How? How had this happened to the Aiel? Avienda took a step forward. She was Onkala, maiden of the spear.
She would eventually give the spear up and marry, just as her mother had and her mother's mother before her. But now was the time to fight. She strode through the streets of Camelin, her near sister carrying the banner of the dragon to announce her lineage. Next to Onkala was the man for whom she would likely give up her spears. Heyal, Dawn Runner, had killed more Shanshan than any of his society, gaining much ji. He had been granted permission to travel to Ruidian last year to become clan chief. Ruidian. The city was besieged by Shanshan. Onkala sneered. Shanshan had no honor. They had been told that Ruidian was a place for peace. The Aiel did not assault the palace in Ebu Dar. The Shanshan should not attack Ruidian. They were lizards. It was a source of constant frustration that after decades of war, the battle lines remained nearly the same as they had been after her great father went to Shaol Gul. She and Heyal were accompanied by 2,000 spears as a guard of honor. Queen Talana knew to expect them, and so the white Andoran palace gates were open. Heyal waved for 50 spears pre-selected to walk with them through the fine halls. Lushness abounded here in the palace. Each tapestry, each vase, each golden frame seemed an insult to Onkala. 40 years of war, and Andor had not been touched. It lay safe, basking in the protection the Aiel defense gave them. Well, Andor would see. The Aiel had grown stronger through their fighting. Once their prowess had been legendary, now it was greater. When the Aiel had destroyed the Shanshan, the world would see what the Aiel had learned. The wetland rulers would wish they had been more generous. The throne room doors were open. Onkala and Heyal entered, leaving their escort. The banner of the dragon flew here, too, a reminder that the Andoran royal line also carried the lineage of the Karakarn. One more reason for Onkala to hate them. The Andoran nobility thought themselves her equals. Queen Talana was a middle-aged woman with deep, lustrous red hair. Not very pretty, but very legal. She was speaking quietly with one of her advisors, and she waved for the Aiel to wait. An insult. Deliberate. Onkala fumed. Finally, they were summoned to approach the Lion Throne. Talana's brother, her protector, stood behind her in court clothing, a vest and coat, hand on his sword. Onkala could have killed him while barely breaking a sweat.
"Ah," Queen Talana said, "the Tardad Aiel again. You still carry the spear, Onkala?"
Onkala folded her arms but said nothing. She knew she was not good with people. When she spoke, insults were too common. Better to let the clan chief take the lead.
"I assume you're here to beg for aid again," Talana said.
Heyal flushed, and Onkala wished, for a moment, she hadn't left her spear outside.
"We have something for you," Heyal said, taking out a leather pouch and handing it to one of the queen's guards.
The man opened it, inspecting the papers inside. Another insult. Must they be treated like assassins? Onkala did not like the queen, true, but her family and Talana's were sworn to allegiance because of their great mothers, who had been first sisters. The soldier handed the queen the papers. Talana perused them, face growing concerned and thoughtful. Talana, like most of the rulers beneath the dragon's peace, worried about the Shanshan. The Raven Empire's techniques and skill with shaping the One Power were growing. The Aiel had them held at a stalemate for now. What would happen if the Shanshan won? Would they hold to their oaths? How much could the Shanshan be trusted? Heyal's agents had spent a great deal of time over the last decade seeding that very question among the great courts of the world. He was a wise man. Even before he had become chief, he had realized that this war could not be won by the Aiel alone. They needed these soft wetlanders. And that was the final reason Onkala hated them.
"Where did you get these?" Talana asked.
"From the Shanshan Palace,"
Heyal said. They should not have struck at Ruidian. By honor, that allowed us to reciprocate, though our attack was done quietly to recover these. I had long suspected where they were located, and only my honor in not breaching the Shanshan sacred palace held me back.
Talana's face grew hard. You're certain these are authentic?
You question me? Heyal asked.
Queen Talana shook her head, looking troubled. She knew that the Aiel did not lie.
We have been patient with you, Heyal said. We have come to you and explained what will happen if we cannot hold off the Shanshan.
The dragon's peace.
What care did they have for the dragon? Heyal asked. They are invaders who forced him to bow to their empress. She is considered above him. They will not keep promises they make to an inferior.
Queen Talana looked down again. The documents were Shanshan plans for attacking Andor, along with a detailed plot for the assassination of the queen. Underneath that were similar plans for dealing with the rulers of Tyr, the Two Rivers, and Ilion. I must have time to consult with my advisors, Talana said.
We have her, Ankala thought, smiling.
Ankala already knew what the queen's answer would be. The trick had been to get her to consider action. Heyal nodded, and the two of them withdrew. Ankala had to keep herself from yelling in victory. If Andor entered the war, the other nations would as well, particularly those in the Pact of the Griffin and those in the Court of the Sun. They looked to the Andoran queen much as the other Aiel clans looked to Ankala. The blood of Randall Thor held much weight.
Is this right? Heyal asked as they walked,
their spears surrounding them to keep away prying ears.
Ankala started.
It was your plan? He nodded, frowning. Nothing he had said to the queen had been untrue. Their honor was unsoiled. However, Heyal had left out one of the sheets they'd discovered. That one had explained that the other sheets were contingency plans. The descriptions of Andor's military forces, suggestions on how to use gateways and dragons to attack Camelin, the very plot to assassinate Queen Talana, these had been drawn up only in case Andor entered the war. They were meant as a preemptive study on a potential enemy, not an actual plan to attack. It was virtually the same thing. The Shanshan were snakes. They would seize Andor eventually, and by then the Aiel might be unable to help. If this war went badly, her people would go to the Threefold Land and leave the foolish wetlanders to be conquered. The Shanshan would find it impossible to fight the Aiel in their homeland. Much better for Queen Talana to enter the war now. For her own good, it was best she never saw that other sheet.
It is done, Heyal said. There is no room for question now.
Ankala nodded.
The Shanshan would fall, and the Aiel would take their rightful place. The blood of the dragon reborn was in her veins. She deserved to rule. It would not be the Raven Empire that rose at the end of this all, but the Dragon Empire.
I don't want to go on, Avienda said to the empty forest of glass. The breeze had fallen still. Her comment was met with silence. Her tears had marked the dust by her feet, like fallen drops of rain.
That creature had no honor, she said. She has ruined us.
The worst part was the woman Ankala had thought of her mother's face, her great mother. Inside Ankala's head, there had been a face attached to that title. Avienda had recognized it as her own. Cringing, closing her eyes, she stepped forward into the very center of the radiant columns.
She was Padra, daughter of the dragon reborn, proud maiden of the spear. She yanked her weapon from the neck of a dying Shanshan, then watched the rest flee through their gateway.
Light curse the one who taught the Shanshan traveling, Padra thought. Even if their weaves aren't very elegant.
She was convinced that no living person understood the One Power as she and her siblings did.
She'd been able to weave since she'd been a child, and her brothers and sister were the same. To them it was natural, and all others who channeled seemed awkward by comparison. She was careful not to speak that way. Aes Sedai and wise ones didn't like being reminded of their shortcomings. It was true, nonetheless. Padra joined her spear sisters. They left one of their number dead on the grass, and Padra mourned for her. Tara, of the Tardad Aiel. She would be remembered. But honor was theirs, for they had slain 8 Shanshan soldiers. She wove a gateway. For her, it happened as fast as she could think. She held the one power perpetually, even while she slept. She'd never known what it was like not to have that comforting, surging power in the back of her mind. Others said they feared being consumed by it. But how was that possible? Saidar was a piece of her, like her arm or her leg. How could one be consumed by one's own flesh, bone, and blood? The gateway led to the Aiel camp in the land called Arad Doman. The camp wasn't a city. Aiel didn't have cities. But it was a very large camp, and it had not moved in almost a decade. Padra strode across the grass, and Aiel in Cadinsor showed her deference. Padra and her siblings, as children of the dragon, had become something to the Aiel. Not lords, that concept made her sick, but she was more than an ordinary Algai de Siswai. The clan chiefs looked to her and her siblings for advice, and the wise ones took special interest in them. They allowed her to channel, though she was not one of them. She could no sooner stop channeling than she could stop breathing. She dismissed her spear sisters, then made her way directly to Ronam's tent. The clan chief, son of Ruark, would need to hear her report. She entered and was surprised to see that Ronam was not alone. A group of men sat on the rug, clan chiefs every one. Her siblings were sitting there as well.
"Ah, Padra," Ronam said, "you have returned."
"I can come back another time, Ronam," she said.
"No, you were wanted for this meeting. Sit and share my shade."
Padra bowed her head at the honor he showed her. She sat between Alark and Janduin, her brothers. Though the 4 siblings were quadruplets, they looked very dissimilar. Alark took more after their wetlander side and had dark hair. Janduin was blonde and tall. Beside him sat Marina, their sister, small of build, with a round face. "I should report," Padra said to Ronam, "that the Shanshan patrol was where we thought. We engaged them." There were uncomfortable mumbles about that.
"It is not against the dragon's peace for them to enter Arad Doman," said Tavalad, clan chief of the Goshin Aiel.
"Nor is it wrong for us to kill them for getting too close, clan chief," Padra replied. "The Aiel are not bound by the dragon's peace. If the Shanshan wish to risk inspecting our camp, then they need to know that it is a risk." Several of the others, more than she would have expected, nodded at that comment. She glanced at Janduin and he raised an eyebrow. She covertly raised 2 fingers. 2 Shanshan, dead by her spear. She would have liked to take them captive, but the Shanshan did not deserve to become Gaishine. They also made terrible prisoners. Better to spare them the shame and let them die.
"We should speak what we came to say," said Alalved, chief of the Tomanella Aiel.
Padra did a quick count. All 11 chiefs were accounted for, including those who had blood oaths against one another. A meeting like this hadn't been seen in years, not since her father had been preparing for the last battle.
"And what did we come to say?" asked one of the others.
Alalved shook his head.
"The spears grow restless. The Aiel are not meant to grow fat in lush lands growing crops. We are warriors." "The dragon asked for peace," Tavalad said. "The dragon asked others for peace," Alalved replied. "He excluded the Aiel."
"That is true," said Darvin, chief of the Rain.
Do we return to raiding one another after all of these years holding our blood feuds in abeyance?
Ronam asked softly. He was an excellent clan chief, much as Ruark had been. Wise, yet not afraid of battle.
What would be the point?
Asked Shedron, chief of the Darine Aiel. Others nodded. But that raised a larger problem, one her mother had often spoken of. What was it to be Aiel, now that their duty to the past had been fulfilled, their To as a people cleansed?
How long can we wait? Alalved said, knowing that they have Aiel women captive with those bracelets of theirs. It has been years, and they still continue to refuse all offers of payment and barter. They return our civility with rudeness and insults. We are not meant to beg, said aged Bruan. The Aiel will soon become milk-fed wetlanders.
All nodded at his words. Wise Bruan had lived through the last battle.
If only the Shan Shan Empress...
Ronam shook his head, and she knew what he was thinking. The old Empress, the one who had ruled during the days of the last battle, had been considered a woman of honor by Ronam's father. An understanding had nearly been reached with her, so it was said. But many years had passed since her rule.
Regardless, Ronam continued, the spears clash. Our people fight when they meet. It is our nature. If the Shan Shan won't listen to reason, then what cause do we have to leave them be? This peace of the dragons will not last long anyway, Alalved said. Skirmishes between the nations are common, though none speak of them. The Karakarn required promises of the monarchs, but there is no enforcement. Many wetlanders cannot be held at their word, and I worry that the Shan Shan will devour them while they squabble.
There were many nods. Only Darvin and Tavalad did not seem convinced. Padra held her breath. They had known this was coming. The skirmishes with the Shan Shan, the restlessness of the clans. She had dreamed of this day, but feared it as well. Her mother had gained great ji in battle. Padra had had few chances to prove herself. A war with the Shan Shan. The prospect invigorated her, but it would also mean much death.
What say the dragon's children? Ronam asked, looking at the four of them.
It still seemed strange to her that these elders looked to her. She checked on Sidar, comfortable in the back of her mind, and drew strength from it. What would she do without it?
I say that we must reclaim our own who are held by the Shan Shan, said Marina. She was training to become a wise one.
Alark seemed uncertain, and he glanced at Janduin. Alark often deferred to his brother.
The Aiel must have a purpose, Janduin said, nodding. We are useless as we are, and we made no promise not to attack. It is a testament to our patience and respect for my father that we have waited this long.
Eyes turned to Padra. They are our enemies, she said. One by one, the men in the room nodded. It seemed such a simple event to end years of waiting.
Go to your clans, Ronam stood up. Prepare them.
Padra remained seated as the others said their farewells, some somber, others excited. 17 years was too long for the Aiel to be without battle. Soon the tent was empty, save for Padra. She waited, staring at the rug before her. War. She was excited, but another part of her was somber. She felt as if she had set the clans on a path that would change them forever.
Padra, a voice asked.
She turned to see Ronam standing in the entryway to the tent. She blushed and stood. Though he was 10 years her senior, he was quite handsome. She'd never give up the spear, of course. But if she did...
You seem worried, he said.
I was simply thinking.
About the Shan Shan?
About my father, she replied.
Ah.
Ronam nodded.
I remember when he first came to Cold Rock's hold. I was very young.
What was your impression of him?
He was an impressive man, Ronam said.
Nothing else? He shook his head.
I'm sorry, Padra, but I did not spend much time with him. My path led me elsewhere. I heard things from my father, though.
She cocked her head. Ronam turned and looked out the open tent flaps toward the green grass beyond.
My father called Randall Thor a clever man and a great leader, but one who did not know what to do with the Aiel. I remember him saying that when the Karakarn was among us, he did not feel like one of us, as if we made him uncomfortable.
Ronam shook his head.
Everyone else was planned for, but the Aiel were left adrift.
Some say we should have returned to the Threefold Land, she said.
No, Ronam said. No, that would have destroyed us. Our fathers knew nothing of steam horses or dragon tubes. Were the Aiel to return to the waste, we would have become irrelevant. The world would pass us by, and we would vanish as a people.
But war, Padra said. Is it right?
I do not know, Ronam said softly. We are Aiel. It is what we know how to do.
Padra nodded, feeling more certain. The Aiel would ride to war again, and there would be much honor in it. Avienda blinked. The sky was dark. She was exhausted. Her mind was drained, her heart opened, as if bleeding out strength with every beat. She sat down in the midst of the dimming columns. Her children. She remembered their faces from her first visit to Ruidian. She had not seen this. Not that she remembered, at least.
Is it destined? She asked. Can we change it?
There was no answer, of course. Her tears were dry. How did one react to seeing the utter destruction, no, the utter decay of one's people? Each step had seemed logical to the people who took it, but each had taken the Aiel toward their end. Should anyone have to see such terrible visions? She wished she'd never stepped back into the Forest of Pillars. Was she to blame for what was to happen? It was her line that would doom her people. This was not like the events she had seen when passing into the rings during her first visit to Ruidian. Those had been possibilities. This day's visions were more real. She felt certain that what she had experienced was not simply one of many possibilities. What she had seen would occur. Step by step, honor drained from her people. Step by step, the Aiel turned from proud to wretched. There had to be more. Angry, she stood up and took another step. Nothing happened. She walked all the way to the edge of the pillars, then turned furious. Show me more, she demanded. Show me what I did to cause this. It is my lineage that brought us ruin. What is my part in it? She walked into the pillars again. Nothing. They seemed dead. She reached out and touched one, but there was no life, no hum, no sense of power. She closed her eyes, squeezing one more tear from the corner of each eye. The tears trailed down her face, leaving a line of cold wetness on her cheeks. Can I change it? She asked. If I can't, she thought, will that stop me from trying? The answer was simple. No. She could not live without doing something to avert that fate. She had come to Ruidian seeking knowledge. Well, she had received it, in more abundance than she had wanted. She opened her eyes and gritted her teeth. Aiel took responsibility. Aiel fought. Aiel stood for honor. If she was the only one who knew the terrors of their future, then it was her duty as a wise one to act. She would save her people. She walked from the pillars, then broke into a run. She needed to return, to consult with the other wise ones. But first she needed quiet, out in the threefold land. Time to think.